Thanks for listening to The Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for The Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Enter the Fox Bet Super 6 NBA contest for a chance to win $25,000 when you pick the outcomes of six of today's NBA games. Download the app now and play for free for your chance to win.
Do I have to pick a game, Ryan?
You pick the outcome of six of today's games.
Yeah, that's not... I don't think I could win that.
Somebody's going to win.
That'd be very difficult.
Win $25,000.
I could use that.
From the Fox Bet Super 6 NBA contest.
Antonio Daniels disagrees with me on everything. That's why we bring him on the show. He does Fox Sports New Orleans, so he's a Pelican guy. He's a Zion Williamson guy, who I love. I wish there were more Zion Williamsons in the league, because I like guys who dunk, and I like guys who initiate contact. I like physical throwback players, and I think Zion Williamson does that, and Antonio's now joining me live. You know, it's interesting. I think Zion is a blast. I love him. I love his game. Are you a little surprised how effective he's been? I saw a stat the other day. He's shooting 66% in the month of February. That hasn't happened since Barkley in 83. Are you surprised at all by his effectiveness?
I'm not. You know, the thing is, if you go back to the beginning of last year, prior to everything going on with COVID, I was blessed to be at every practice of training camp. So the moment that Zion got there, I was blessed to be there for the entire journey. And to see how dominant that he was, not just with his own team, but in the preseason of that time, you knew that he was going to do some special things. What has surprised me, I think, more than anything, and maybe it took Stan Van Gundy getting this head coaching job, but he's unlocked something special. He's unlocked the point forward, you know, sort of like Giannis, where Zion's initiating the offense. Because
yeah,
the thing I didn't know that he can do a lot, I didn't realize that his basketball IQ is what it was, and his skill set with his ability to handle the basketball is what it was as well. So what we're seeing this year is a little bit different Zion, and they're moving him all over the floor.
Yeah, no, he does initiate the offense. And, you know, he always had great self-awareness as a college star with the shoe incident. I always thought his quotes were very self-aware. I wasn't that self-aware at 19, 20 years old, so I'd like to hear
right.
I like to hear you say that. So I got to be honest. James Harden, Kyrie, Kevin Durant, that just felt like tinderbox emotionally. Are you a little surprised how effective it's been?
On our SiriusXM radio show, I put Brooklyn the moment that James Harden was traded to Brooklyn to go to the finals. This is the thing. We kind of forget the era that we're in the NBA. This is a scoring era where it's extremely difficult to play legitimate defense. All of the rules favor the offensive player.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. I'm going to tell you what you do. You give me Kyrie Irving's talent. You give me Kevin Durant's talent. You give me James Harden's talent, and we'll figure it out. I'll figure it out. Give me the talent first. Give me the talent first, and I'll figure out the rest later. Everybody's worrying about the wrong stuff. Well, what if this guy and what if that guy? No. Give me the talent and give me the opportunity to figure it out. Give me a guy like Joe Harris, whose skill set complements exactly what they do well. Give me a guy like James Harden, who has led this league in assists and points and three-pointers made and free throws made. Give me that guy. Give me Kevin Durant, 1-1 in NBA history at 7 foot. I'll figure the rest out later.
So you told me during the break you disagreed with me. LeBron leads the NBA in minutes, and he's 38 mm-hmm. years old. Everybody else, it's load management, it's minute restrictions, it's my hamstrings hurt. And I'm like, can you just play? I mean, but you don't. I like LeBron's sort of Akron, Ohio mantra, which is, I punch a time clock, this is what I do. I would think as an old school basketball player, you'd love that.
But you know, the thing that we have to do, Colin, we have to readjust our goggles, because we are not in the old school era anymore. And it is no longer a badge of honor. Guys don't consider it a badge of honor to play 82 games anymore. And LeBron James is not going to talk about, which he shouldn't. He's not going to talk about load management. He's not going to talk about games off. You know why? Because he knows that we will. So when it comes down to the narrative and we start talking about the MVP, right now, if you have LeBron James ahead of Joel Embiid or Kevin Durant or Kawhi Leonard or a lot of other guys that are on this list, what's your reasoning and rationale as to why? Because he has not missed a basketball game yet. So the thing is, he doesn't have to discuss the narrative about the amount of minutes that he's playing or the fact that he hasn't missed an NBA game yet, because he understands that when we talk about the end and have the MVP conversation, there has to be a narrative involved somewhere. So he doesn't have to discuss it because we'll discuss it for him.
So I'm gonna. So Joy and I disagreed with this earlier. Antonio Daniels joining us. The James Harden, Kawhi Leonard thing. I like floppers because I think manipulation of officiating is part of the game. And so you don't like this at all. I think most floppers are the smartest guys in sports. And you got sometimes it's acting. And I told Joy this. Sometimes when my wife, I got to pretend I'm outraged to get my way on stuff. And I flop. I verbally flop in my life. And I think it's very effective.
Okay, here's the thing. I don't blame the players for this because I'm assuming Joy said that she doesn't like the flopping.
She doesn't like it.
I'm with her. I'm with her. But here's the thing is I think it's a two-way street because a lot of times this falls on the players where the player's job is to manipulate the officials, which is exactly what you just spoke to.
Yeah.
I'm more upset for the fact that guys continue to be rewarded for flopping, not for flopping. It's the fact that they're being rewarded for flopping. Because the thing is, once players stop getting rewarded for flopping, then the flopping will cease. But as long as guys continue to be rewarded for the flopping, it'll continue to happen. I get it. This is called the game within the game.
Right.
Because if I can fool the officials to thinking that this was an offensive foul by Kawhi Leonard, or when LeBron James got thrown to the ground, if I can fool the officials, as opposed to getting mad at James Harden right here and saying, oh my gosh, I can't believe he's flopping. That's what he's supposed to do. His job is to win the game. But my frustration falls on the fact that he is being rewarded for this, especially in a game that's this crucial at this point in the game.
That's good stuff by you. You brought a lot of energy today. I really appreciate that because I didn't sleep worth crap last night, and I needed energy, and you brought it. You doing okay? You feel good during all this travel and pandemic? Are you okay? How you feel?
I'm blessed, man. I am extremely blessed. I have nothing whatsoever to complain about. You know, my family's healthy. I just wish that we can get back to some sense of normalcy. You never really realize how important fans are until the arena, until they're not there. So when New Orleans were starting to get fans back in the arena and we have a exciting basketball team with Zion, with Brandon Ingram, with Lonzo Ball. So I have no complaints whatsoever. I am truly a blessed man.
Good. Well, I like watching them play. I love Zion. And Antonio, it's an absolute pleasure to talk to you again.
Always, brother. It's always good to see you. You guys stay safe.
All right. He works Fox Sports New Orleans. Great energy, doesn't he? Just pops every time he's on. Joy Taylor with the news.
No. Turn on the news. This is the Herdline News.
Oh, it feels like it's going to be so long before we get to see all these storylines play out. Because I can't wait to see what the Lions are this year. Dan Campbell obviously had a very memorable press conference when he was introduced as the Lions head coach. He got plenty of criticism for it, including on this show. And he doesn't care if people think he's a meathead. He said, I said this to Chris Spielman the other day. I was like, I love the fact that we're only known as meatheads. I'm a meathead. I have limited brain capacity. I like that people think that. I'm good with that. You know what I mean? I have zero problem with it. Look, here's my issue with this. At surface, you may think, oh, he's just saying he doesn't care what people think about him. I can get down with that. There's a value to blocking out the noise of what other people think about you. I don't think, and then there's the value of, okay, well, people are underestimating me. They think I'm stupid. There's a value to that as well. Because then you have lower expectations. You can outdo them because they're underestimating you. But I don't know if that's what he's saying. I think he's just saying, I don't care if people think I'm a meathead. If I act meatheadish or whatever, it doesn't matter. I don't think it matters to anybody else. But it does matter to the guys in the locker room. Yeah. Everybody is not a meathead. Everybody doesn't respond to that run through a wall stuff. And I also think that that has a limited shelf life. I think at one point or another, people are tired of listening to the yelling and they just want, what's the game plan? What's the plan?
I don't think you have to say everything that's in your head.
No.
I mean, if I thought that, I wouldn't say it. You know, it's... I'm not going to name the coach, but I was talking to a football player, bright guy, and his university hired a new coach. And this was about 8-10 years ago. And the coach came in to introduce himself to the players, you know, right? And he was a smart player, and his best buddy on the team was also a smart player. And he said, we knew 5 minutes in, our coach is an idiot.
Oh, it's just, it's the worst. It's the worst feeling.
And he was
knowing
saying,
the person that is leading you is not competent.
And he said, he goes, all the smart guys in the room, we were all like, for the next 2 days, our coach is dumb. He goes, all the dumb players, the guys that aren't self-aware, they're like, yeah. He goes, but we, the smart guys in the room knew instantly. It's like, we're going to get out coached most days in our college football conference.
I don't know if he is going to be a great coach or not. I know what he did in Miami. I wasn't into it when it was in Miami. Again, I think the rah-rah stuff only lasts for so long. Everyone around the league seems to like him and has respect for him.
Well, I wish him luck.
I'm not rooting against him in any way. I personally don't buy into that.
Yeah.
And I'm with you. I think that your first press conference does matter. It's not everything, but it is something. And as a head coach, it is part of your job
to sell,
to talk to the media,
and like you're, sell
and
yourself.
To talk, yes, and to talk to fans, and to talk to the guys in the locker room, and to talk to your staff. So how you speak, how you present yourself matters. If you have a bad press conference, it's not unreasonable for people to react in a negative way to it. That's part of your job. No, you don't get paid to speak, but in some ways, you do get paid to present yourself. And I don't know. I'm just, we'll see how it goes. He doesn't care if we think he's a meathead, though. So wide receiver Devontae Smith caught passes from both Tua and Mac Jones at Alabama. He was asked to pick between the two quarterbacks at an interview at the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And according to Albert Breer, the question was barely finished before Smith answered Mac Jones. He was bold and definitive about it as I heard it. So that's his opinion on those two quarterbacks, both of whom he played with. I think one thing that happens with Alabama quarterbacks is that we see a lot of them and we see them in big moments, and if they have success, we kind of start to lean towards maybe it's not just the pieces around them. I didn't really love Tua coming out of the draft. I was way higher on Joe Burrow. Admittedly, I bought in once the Dolphins committed to him, and I am very much unsure about what he is capable of. And if it was up to me, I would trade for Deshaun Watson. I don't know what Mac Jones is. I think he has to go to a perfect situation. It's really hard to evaluate quarterbacks from a program like Alabama that is there every single year, that gets great players every single year. There's never any controversy. There's never anything to overcome. I mean, you're throwing to the Heisman winner.
Well, like, look at the video. Look at the video. The guys are 8 yards off. That doesn't happen.
It's not going to happen in the NFL. And I'm not saying he's not capable, and I'm not saying he didn't perform in the biggest moments. He did. But how do you evaluate? Look at that. Like, when is that happening? That's never happening. That might happen once every six games in the NFL that some coverage breaks down, but you're not throwing in that. You're not throwing to a wide receiver that open. And I get it doesn't happen every time, but I don't know. I'm with you. I think I don't like to pick a bust, but
yeah,
I don't know. I don't know how to evaluate a player like that. With
that
those
ball
kind of
gets picked in
it.
The NFL. Let's watch this one. Yeah, that's a good throw.
That's a good throw.
Yeah, let me see another one.
Again, it's not that I don't think he's incapable. I don't think he has busts written all over him.
That ball's underthrown.
It depends on where he goes. I don't think he is capable of going to the Bengals and making them relevant right away. The way that Joe Burrow did.
He's not Joe Burrow. God, no.
So Carson Wentz wore number 11 with the Eagles, but that number is already taken by Michael Pittman on the Colts. And Pittman said the two had the chance to talk about who will get the number moving forward.
He was just seeing like how like locked in I was to 11, and I told him that I was locked in, and he was like, that's cool, bro, because I'm probably gonna switch anyway. Lots of guys with his status, like, they would come in and they would like demand and stuff like that. So I just think that he's a really great dude.
He did not give it up.
Well, right now Pittman is an emerging star, and Wentz has to prove himself. I'm not giving up either.
I was intrigued by this story because generally you're going to give up the number to the starting quarterback. And Michael Pittman didn't want to give it up. I think it's interesting. Well, I do think it says something. I know that Michael's saying like he likes that he was cool and he wasn't difficult about it, and that he thinks that, you know, someone of his status could be. But I actually think it's something.
I don't know if I'd want to give my number up. I mean, if I'm some young hotshot comes in and looks at Derek Jeter, can I have two? I'd be like, no, it's my number.
I mean, I think it depends on who's asking you. If Tom Brady comes in, you got to give up number 12.
Well, it depends. What if I'm Mike Evans? I'm not giving
up. You're giving up number 12. No. You want to be the guy that denied Tom Brady his jersey number?
I'd be like, you're married to a supermodel. You have enough in life. I'm not giving you the number. That's it. Come on. I wouldn't ask for it. I think it's weird to ask for it.
Didn't Chris Godwin have?
Yeah, 12? But Chris Godwin's their number two receiver.
So if you have to be Mike Evans.
I could not. To me, I could not ask somebody to give their number up. I'm uncomfortable with that. Like, it's your number. I'm a new guy. I want to prove myself.
I don't know. I mean, that's why I think this is kind of an interesting story, because I think if it's Carson Wentz, I don't think he has the juice right now to push for that number. But, you know, if I'm Tom Brady, but everybody loves Tom Brady. It'd have to be somebody who's like, players love, like they admire him. Like, yeah. That's the GOAT. I don't know. I'm probably asking for the number, though.
All right. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
John Ritchie next in Philadelphia. He can be controversial. He'll fill us in on cool stuff next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, we'll have more information on this as it comes in. Tiger Woods got in an accident today in Los Angeles. His car rolled. He's in a hospital right now. They had to extricate him from the car. We don't know the severity of it. It happened at 7 in the morning, so Tiger Woods by himself in a car kind of rolled it up in the Rolling Hill Estates of Palos Verdes, which is about a half hour from my house. Beautiful area, by the way. It's very hilly, a lot of topography, kind of a windy road area. We'll update you as we know more. John Ritchie played in the NFL for 7 years, now a popular talk show host in Philadelphia at WIP, and he's real popular, and he's real outspoken, and he's... Boy, he called everything with Philadelphia, and he is now joining us live. So let's start with this. Carson Wentz got traded. They didn't waste a lot of time. Your initial reaction, John, to it was what? Shock or saw it coming?
We knew he didn't want to play in Philly anymore.
Okay.
It's being reported that at the NovaCare facility, the Eagles complex, there is a sense of like sullen, somber loss, and everyone, we as Eagle fans and followers, we recognize that, you know, you created this. This was essentially Carson saying, I'm not playing for you anymore because I don't have a chance to succeed when you've got Howfrey running the show. Howfrey is a, you know, conglomeration of Howie Roseman and Jeffrey Lurie. When Halfrey's running it, I can't succeed, so I want out of here. No one was surprised about that. The same thing happened with Doug Peterson. They expected to have him back, and then he said, wait, you know what? Until you start letting me be the coach I can be, I don't want to be here any longer. So, yeah, they brought it on themselves. We were not surprised. We had a sense of, I felt sympathy for Carson Wentz with the way he was supported. It was a horrendous, horrendous offensive scheme, a horrendous offensive line. As we know, so many different assortments of guys, no one to throw to. And he, I think he did the right thing for his career.
Yeah. What are they going to do with the number 6 draft pick now?
Well, it's interesting. The beat guys are reporting they would not be surprised if the Eagles went quarterback again. And this comes on the heels of Howie Roseman referring to Philadelphia as a quarterback factory after he drafted Jalen Hurts last year. It sort of feels like, I don't know, conceding defeat and failure on the Hurts pick if you go first-round quarterback once again.
Yeah.
But the fact is, Jalen Hurts, while he looked promising at times, you know, especially against the Saints when he led the Eagles to a victory, there were shortcomings in his game, and no one really knows for sure if he would have looked better with a better offensive line, with better receivers, with better scheme. But the fact remains, this is a guy who was projected to be a second or a third round draft pick. And now they have an opportunity to potentially trade up to get the second overall quarterback, second overall pick in this year's draft. I'm keen on Zach Wilson. I believe Jalen Hurts has shown all the intangibles and the leadership qualities that you're looking for. I'm just not sold on him as an arm. And I think Zach Wilson has better arm talent and ability than Jalen Hurts does, while still fitting into the modern mold of being able to hurt you with the zone read.
Nick Sirianni had a pretty brutal first press conference. I could watch. I mean, Joey and I watched it one time, and I'm like, it was like somebody struggling on Jeopardy. I'm like, this is embarrassing. I can't watch it. I'm uncomfortable. What was the reaction in Philadelphia? What was the reaction?
The reaction was, you told us that you interviewed 20 different qualified candidates, and this was the best that you could find. I don't understand that. Now, a lot of people were up in arms that Deuce Staley wasn't given more of an opportunity. You know, he's now moved on, just like Doug Peterson did, just like Carson Wentz did. Deuce Staley, the running back coach and offensive, you know, high up assistant, asked out of town. Because he didn't feel like he was given the proper weight in his interview, despite the fact that his interview went well. No, I think everyone thinks Nick Sirianni is in Philly and in place because he was the most qualified candidate who would say yes to everything that Howie Free asks. That's the bottom line. No one knows if he's a good coach. Everyone hopes he is. Time will tell. But we know that he is complicit with the plan, which is let the owner let Howie Free decide on everything that takes place in that building.
By the way, Philadelphia is a very verbal town. It's a very outspoken town, and they're prideful of their teams. Is there a sense in Philly now the front office is just simply not capable of turning this thing around?
Yes, I think so. Unabashed hatred in most corners of the fan spectrum right now. And we actually have people talking about just tossing this entire season, you know, throwing this season like Doug Peterson. Well, sorry, like Howie Free did week 17 of the regular season for the Eagles when they threw that game. Throw the regular season in 2021. Trade away Brandon Graham. Trade away Brandon Brooks. Just like they're unloading the big contracts right now.
Yeah.
Trade away Darius Slay. Get what you can on these older guys now, because you're 31st. You're positioned 31st in the league in terms of cap room. You're not going to be able to buy help. You can't draft help. You have to look forward to 2022 at this point. You've got Eagle fans who are saying, this season is a loss. Let's cut those losses. Get what we can now and move on.
Yeah, I got to be honest with you. I appreciate that. Most fan bases are not willing to do that. I could make a very compelling argument. That's exactly what you should do. Okay, John Ritchie.
They're the worst team in the division. They're the worst team in the division. The division's not good.
No, I don't think there's any question right now. Former Eagle fullback, played seven NFL seasons. He's on WIP, 94 WIP. I love having you on the show, buddy, and we will talk. We're going to talk to you before the draft as well. I appreciate that.
Sounds great, Colin. Love you. You're the greatest. Talk to you whenever you want.
All right, John Ritchie. Used to work with him at the other place. I just want to update you on the Tiger stuff. By the way, John Ritchie actually went to college with Tiger Woods. We talked about it. This morning, 7:12 in the morning, Tiger Woods in a car by himself rolled it on the border of Rolling Hills Estates and Ranchos Palos Verdes. Bizarrely, I know where that's at. It's not far from my house. I've been on that road before. The vehicle sustained major damage. Tiger was the sole occupant of the car. He was extricated from the wreck with what they call the jaws of life. That's serious. He was then transported to a local hospital by an ambulance for his injuries. The investigation's being conducted by LAPD. It's a very windy, narrow roads, Palos Verdes is almost a peninsula. It's you know, I wouldn't say treacherous, but it's I've been on some roads before where, you know, it's just thin pavement, no yellow line in the middle, and you go around a lot of blind corners.
There are a lot of photos now of the, I guess they have helicopter footage of the rollover, and it's rough. It looks like it is a courtesy car from the
tournament.
Yeah, there's like a label on this.
Okay.
Oh, the Genesis Invitational, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So his agent, Mark Steinberg, put out a statement. He suffered multiple leg injuries, currently in surgery. So, I mean, that's almost good news. It could have been, if it's surgery on your leg, there's a lot of other outcomes that could have been far worse.
Yeah, well, hopefully he's okay. There's a lot of, obviously, everybody's getting information at the same time here.
Right.
So.
So, listen, treacherous is the wrong word. It is a interesting place. In Los Angeles, there's like Mulholland Drive and Palos Verdes, a lot of windy around blind corners, and there's a lot of traffic and not always the greatest signage. It's a place I try not to drive much. So, good luck to Tiger Woods. 7 in the morning, taken out, surgeries now. Appreciate the update from his agent, Mark Steinberg. All right, that's where we're at today, and I think we're going to end it there. Very latest show after us. If you get new information, social media, I'm sure we'll be all over that stuff. I want to thank everybody that came by today. LeVar Arrington, Drew Bledsoe, Antonio Daniels, and John Ritchie. Joy and I will see you tomorrow.